Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio, and I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we hope to be live every week until Jesus comes. Amen. Anyway, as long as the Lord wants us to have this program, we'll be here. And we're going to try to be live every week from now on. So, there's so many interesting things happening out in the world today, aren't there? We're seeing Benny Hinn coming out with his so-called repentance. And, of course, Benny Hinn says that they refer to some of his repentance as repenting of the prosperity gospel. But, of course, he doesn't want to say prosperity gospel anymore. He wants to say the blessings of God, but... What I would really like to hear from Benny Hinn, because it's not about the prosperity gospel exactly. I'd like to hear Benny Hinn say, I repent of my scamming, because it's just scamming. That's all it is. It's scamming. It's being a con artist. You mean after all these years, you didn't know that when you were selling miracles, it was wrong? I was like, stop it already. Just tell it like it is. If you're really going to repent, then tell the truth. Stop blaming everybody else. He blames that he was under pressure, and he blames that he was trapped on some of these TV programs. It borders on the ridiculous. Anyway, we'll play some of these audios as I bring Jackie on. The program. Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Susan.
So, what's happening there?
What's happening here? That's a good question. Well, I've just been, you know, digging through my files today, this morning, on Benny Hinn. I've got such a big, thick file on him because, as you're just saying, he isn't new to scamming. And,
no.
You know, I guess I find it very difficult to believe that anybody takes him seriously anymore. I mean, he really has a pretty bad record.
Yeah, but they do. They do. They were applauding. I thought it was really ridiculous that he's there talking about scamming. Well, he doesn't call it scamming. He calls it gimmicks, but they're really scamming. And he's a professional con artist, absolutely. But... And then the people were applauding like it was some great revelation. I'm like, the guy's been picking your pocket for years. And now because he says that he's going to stop selling $1,000 miracles, you're applauding?
Yeah, well, it's the same old Benny. And again, this is something he does every few years, and it never lasts very long, but... You know, I the Lord has showed me a long time ago a passage that I didn't look it up, but it's a passage that totally refers to him. I think it's in James. The double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Okay.
Yeah.
That's Benny Hinn. He's a very unstable, double-minded man. And no one should take him seriously. And of course he's also a showman. There's many things about Benny Hinn. Well, when you've monitored him for 35 years, like I have, then you kind of, I feel like I know Benny, you know.
Yeah.
I have met him, by the way, but I do feel like I know what his, like every move of his, I can see through him because I've known him for 35 years. In fact, 1 year, what was it, 1997, he actually invited me to come to his revival he was having in Philadelphia. Oh, at the, oh, what do they call it? It's that big center where they do their basketball games or whatever. And, yeah. And so I was told to meet his crew in their big trailers that they keep outside the back. It was a Spectrum. That's what it's called. So I went back there to meet with, I thought I was going to meet Benny, but he, I took a ministry partner of mine in. And so we went back to meet guys. And so they assigned, you know, Benny assigned a PR guy to us, and the PR guy decided to let us sit anywhere we wanted to. And so he said, he said, let me show you our, you know, our mobile studio and everything. And so he took us into the studio, and there's a bunch of guys back there, you know, all, you know, getting ready for the taping and everything. And he makes this big announcement as we walk in, and he says, hey, everybody, watch your language. We got real Christians here.
And, so,
you know,
he was aware of your work at the time.
No, he was just, we talked for a little bit before he showed us around, and, you know, and I was asking him how long he's known the Lord, that kind of stuff. He was very unspecific, but I think what he was getting at is Benny and the rest of them are fake Christians. So you better watch what you say around these girls. These are real Christians. I mean, that was the implication at the time. And, and then he showed us, you know, introduced us to the crew, and they were a crude crew. I mean, I don't think any of these guys were saved. That's why he was warning them about their language. And then he said, where do you want to sit? And, you know, it's a big place, the big stadium there. It's not stadium. It's an indoor thing, like where they play the basketball.
And so I
said, well, you know, let us sit in the front row and not have anyone in our way. He goes, oh, I wouldn't do that to you. I said, well, what do you mean you wouldn't do that to me? Oh, no. He says, you know, you'll have everybody falling on top of you. He can make anybody fall over. And then he started mimicking him, you know, being slain in the spirit. And all of them started roaring, laughing, the whole crew, when he was imitating Benny and acting like he was slaying everybody in the spirit. And I just said, no, we're not going down. He goes, oh, yes, you're going down. I said, no, I'm not going down. He goes, well, I'm going to put you in the fourth row just to keep you safe. And he goes, Benny wants me to sit with you the whole time, but I think you'd probably be okay without me because I don't want to go down. And so I said, that's fine. We don't need you to babysit us. But anyway, Benny knew we were there. And so we're in the center, fourth row, and all these people just in the state of worship. Not worshiping Benny, because when Benny made his entrance, it was to the song, How Great Thou Art. And serious. The people started singing How Great Thou Art to Benny, not to Jesus. They were singing it to Benny. And this was back in the day when he was really, you know, throwing his coat around and doing all those crazy stuff. He was in the thick of that at the time. And so 97, was that when it was? Yeah, it was around 97. And so he was obviously trafficking with a very evil spirit. It was so apparent to anyone who even has the slightest bit of discerning of spirits to know this was an unclean spirit he was toying with. So it wasn't all con and all scam and all gimmicks. A lot of it was power, but of the sordid sort, okay?
Yeah.
Because what happened is he said, everybody in this area, stand up. And so I didn't want to stand up. I mean, standing up and this lady next to me, oh, come on, stand up. So I stood with the whole group, and I just stared him down, and he stared at me. And, you know, and the whole time, my friend and I were praying and just having a staring contest with him. And so he throws his power like a softball at our group, and everybody went down, and we stood there while everybody around us was shaking and trembling all around on the floor. And then he went to the other side. Then he comes down and goes, "Dick Moore," and he's yelling it and throwing his softballs in our direction. And we just kept staring him down and not going down with the rest of them. And it was like he was getting angry. He had this vile, demonic look on his face as he was staring at us. And every time he did that with Moore and he was throwing more power balls our way, everybody by us were shaking so uncontrollably. It even got worse where they all looked like they were hurting themselves, because every time he did that, more of them were jolting uncontrollably, and I felt sorry for them. I kept not only praying for ourselves to not come under that, but praying for all these people, because he was just laying it on.
Well, do you think that's a form of hypnotism?
Well, that's debatable, because I think hypnotism does come into play, but I don't think it's all hypnotism, because a very evil power came over him. And yeah, that's, hypnotism is one thing to make other people do, you know, what you want them to do. But does that mean an evil power source comes over your face and distorts it and changes your voice from your normal voice into a growling demonic one? Because that's what I saw. That's what I saw. So I know a lot of people, they want to find a natural explanation for everything. But at that time, Benny said that even when the power, he was being interviewed about that power on Praise the Lord one day. And he says, when it comes on me, my children are afraid of me. And he says, and it comes on me and my skin feels like it's on fire, like I'm going to burn up. And he says, and I'm afraid of it myself.
Yeah.
So what does that sound like? Self-hypnotism? I don't know.
Well, the fact that he offers the suggestion and then people participate, but he even does that to his children. I've seen his children come up on the platform and he knocks them down and picks them up, and they let him do that to them.
Yeah, well, you know, when they...
sad.
Yeah, I'm not sure how old they were when you saw that. When he made that statement that his children were afraid of him, that was kind of early on in some of his shenanigans. And sometimes it's all shenanigans. And sometimes something does come, an evil spirit comes into it. And, you know, there's a passage in, one of the major prophets that talks about, in that day I will remove the unclean spirit from the land. I mean, concordance, look it up in the concordance. But I really see this, that there is an unclean spirit in the land that is a counterfeit spirit, and that is there as a, just like the lying spirit in the mouths of the prophets. This is something that I think makes its rounds with today's false prophets. And it's that unclean spirit that is prophesied at the time of the rule of Christ, that he will then remove that unclean spirit from the land.
Yeah. Well, let's listen to, I want to hear your input on this. Let's listen to this first audio. Now, this was done, maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, after Benny made the so-called repentance announcement. But then he was over at his son-in-law, Michael, I think is Nick Koulianis, or I'm not sure I'm pronouncing his name correctly, but they have a church now in Orlando. So, and anyway, Benny, he's sitting down on the platform, and Michael, he's all excited because now, tell us, do you still believe in the prosperity gospel? A lot of these guys are having panic attacks because they can't live without seed faith, and they can't live without tithing. So he wants him to explain what's really going on. But anyway, I find some of these explanations interesting. Let me play this one.
To come to Florida, I began here in Orlando. But then we began OCC here, and now it's history. The Crusades began, and when the Crusades began, for a long time, things went really sweet and wonderful.
91 was Phoenix?
It was 1990, March of 1990. Okay. And I in about, and I'll answer your question now. In about early 2000, you know, when you have a big ministry like in those days, you get to know some very, very powerful people. And they become your friends. And you begin to listen to them. Because you look up to these people. And the matter of prosperity was something that some of them talked about forcefully. When I started in ministry for a long time, I was not into that at all. It started during the Crusades, and not much in OCC. OCC was very normal, just you take the tithe and you're done, you know, tithe offerings. But the whole mentality of the subject came up maybe late 1999, somewhere there, early 2000, when I would be invited to telethons. And to my shock, they would tell me that I raised more money than anyone. And that's really when people began to say, you know, to me in a very sweet way, privately, what is it I believe? And people don't know this. Some of the closest friends I had at one time were all Baptist preachers. This bishop may actually shock you. Charles Stanley came and spent the whole day with me in California when he went through his divorce. And he was, I will never forget the day I spent with Charles Stanley. That's one of the sweetest people on the planet and one of the greatest men of God alive is Dr. Charles Stanley. I was amazed by his knowledge of Scripture and the Holy Spirit. It was I would tell everyone here to really listen to this man on TV. Charles Stanley is the real thing. Jerry Falwell befriended me. And gracious man, very gracious man. Bill Bright was my friend. I would have lunch with Bill Bright here in Orlando every month. People didn't even know that. He actually preached for me. And Tim LaHaye became my friend. And some of them brought that up. They said, "Now, Benny, do you really believe that stuff?" they would say. And they loved everything else but that. You know, they would, you know, Jerry Falwell said to me one day, he said, "When I watch you preach the word of God," he said, "I see no difference between you and I. When I see you give those altar calls, no difference between you and I. When you lead in worship, no difference than your crusades and Thomas Road Baptist Church." But he said, "When those miracles begin, it's downhill from there." But he was troubled by my, at that time, my understanding, maybe I would say, and stand on prosperity. But I didn't really do anything about it. Because the people around me were very strong pro-message. Closest friends I had at one time were all Baptist preachers.
He didn't do anything about it.
Well, you know, that doesn't speak very highly for Charles Stanley, does it?
No, but it's kind of, they're a bunch of wimps anyway, because they won't even stand up to Paula White, the Jack Graham and Robert Jeffers. So they're wimps, these Baptist preachers.
Yeah. Well, and I think that they're opportunists, because certainly, you know, I know a lot of them, none of them who wanted to show up on TBN could ever say a crooked word against not only the Crouches, but anyone associated with TBN at all. because they already learned their lesson from watching others like Dave Hunt and Walter Martin, who were boycotted against appearing on TBN for daring to speak out. And so, yeah. Anyone who has a regular show on TBN has kowtowed to them and have, even if they speak against some of the people who show up, you know, the false teachers that are on TBN, they may say so privately, but they won't say so publicly because they don't want to lose their piece of the place in the airwaves. That matters more to them is their own success and their ministries. They think that what they have to say is so important, so it's okay to go out on TBN and sit on stage with Benny Hinn and whoever else, every other false teacher, and they think that's just fine. And many in the church support that. And get angry at people like you and I who say that propping up false teachers is forbidden by scripture. We're not even supposed to eat with such a one. And they say, well, then, look at the bad people that they might be on the same channel with, on cable television or something. I said, that's not entering in buying airtime on a secular network, but a Christian network that is supposed to be representing Christ, and you just become one of many voices and this place that is built up on seed faith error. That's what built them, because it worked. I had heard a while back, and I can't remember who it was somebody very close to the Crouch family, might even have been one of the girls, as you know who I'm talking about, who said that they had, it couldn't have been one of the girls, but anyway, that they had seen Paul Crouch Jr., who said that when Paul Crouch first started using the word faith scheme, that he challenged it and said, and they quoted Paul Jr. using a BS word, a foul word to say what that really was. And his dad just said, well, it works. And if it works, it's got to be of God. And even though Paul Jr. saw through it later on when Paul Jr. was involved in the praise-a-thon.
Oh, he fell right. He's still doing it.
That's right. That's right.
Tipping himself out.
That's right. Yeah. So you see, they know it. They know it, and they go along with it because it works.
Yeah, it does work. It does work. But the thing is, see, the funny thing is about this whole Benny's bit, it's not really funny, but it's, I guess it's odd in a way, because Benny Hinn, he's supposedly repenting of the prosperity gospel, and he doesn't want to say the word prosperity anymore, but just tell people, I'm a scam artist. I've been a scam artist. That's what I am. I'm a con artist. That's what I am. Just tell the truth and stop trying to cover it, and you're blaming that you were pressured and you go on these telethons and then the people that surrounded you. Either you're a man or you're a wimp.
A mouse. I think it's how it goes. A man or a mouse? Yes.
Yeah, what are you?
He's a mouse. But he's not Mighty Mouse. He's Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, exactly. Because either they put on this big image of, oh, I'm God's man of faith and power, but you can't even stand up for Jesus. You can't stand up. You have to be, they're pressuring me and they're putting me on these telethons, and then the people that are surrounding me are doing all these things to me. This guy, just tell the truth. And we can forgive anybody. We can forgive anybody of anything. We can forgive them. But be honest. Tell the truth. Tell it like it really is.
Well, he did that one time. He told it like it really was. If you want me to share this, it's a partial transcript of a message he gave at Orlando Christian Center, and he gave it on June 21st, 1987. 87, okay. What was that, 32 years ago? And he's saying now that, he didn't realize it until now, just, how horrible that this was, then Do you want to hear his words, verbatim quote?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
This is what he said in 1987 at his own church. He said, "Today, the Lord has made it very clear to me that I am to warn you today of what's coming. No, this is not an easy message to preach. It is needed. And the Bible tells me if I don't tell you, God will require the blood on my hands." And it's too long to say everything word for word. So he carries on and gives some proof text for what he just said. And then he pointed to Amos 8:11. Look it up, and says, "I believe we are living in a time of spiritual famine, brother. The voice of God is not being heard too many right now. That's famine." Okay, it's talking about the famine in the land prophecy. Quote Benny Hinn, "You know what convinces me that this is a famine, because from what I gather, very few are really hearing what God is saying. What's the message out there today? It's a message of ego, pride, and selfishness. It's a message of mine, me, I. Show me how to get more. It's not the message that Jesus preached when he said, if you want to be my disciples, deny yourself and take up the cross and follow me. You know how I know God is not speaking? Because when he speaks, he always brings the blood, the cross, repentance, suffering, dying for God, and he'll exalt you. Today, there's too much of the flesh being preached. Let me show how to nurture the flesh. Let me show you how to get better. Like I said earlier, if I hear prosperity one more time, I'm going to throw up." True prosperity. He said it again, didn't he? Okay, Benny Hinn continues. "True prosperity has nothing to do with money. True prosperity is contentment with whatsoever state I am in." And let me see. I'll move on down. He says, "There's too much today being preached that's not gospel. And I was preaching it myself because I honestly," okay, what was this, some 30 years ago? "I honestly believed that these men whom I respect must be hearing from God. And if they're saying it, well, it must be God. To then discover that the scripture states completely the opposite." Okay, so that's okay. And then he goes on, he says, let's see. And then he starts yelling. This all caps is when he's yelling in this transcript. And he says, let me see. "Blessings are promised on the condition of do it all unto God. You be his and he'll take care of you." You see, the Church of Jesus is in a very bad position in the eyes of the world and even in the eyes of the saints. Hey, you're not stupid. I said, you're not stupid. You are as tired and as sick of money hungry, greedy hypocrites to where you almost threw up. They come to empty your pockets, promising you mountains of gold. You haven't gotten one mountain yet. And here's the repentance. Okay, we'll scoot on down as he carries on and on against the prosperity message. And then he says, well, let's see. "God says, fear ye the Lord. How can you fear a God who's always winking his eye saying, well, you know, tomorrow's another day. We'll just cleanse them one more time." You say, well, now, just a second. Didn't Jesus say, forgive 70 times 7? And yes, if they repent. You know what repentance means? Godly sorrow. Most of us don't even know what repentance means. We think, I'm sorry, forgive me, amen, go mess up again tomorrow. That's not repentance. Repentance is a completely changed life. It's when you break because of sin and you say never again. That's repentance. And Jesus said, you repent like this and you'll be forgiven. But if you go back and say, oh, I blew it again, Lord, you know what God says about this? He says you've stepped fresh on the cross. I mean, I could go on. It goes on and on because he carries on and on and on saying that, you know, God is telling me that if any preacher, he says, many preachers, brother, are no longer serving God. They're serving their own selfish, greedy dreams. They don't give a hoot for y'all.
What year was this?
1987. I know, can you believe it? He says, oh, here's
a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways.
Here's his closing kickoff. He says, now people, be just one thing before I close. Any preacher that doesn't preach self-denial, the cross, the blood, is a false prophet. Any pastor, any leader, any evangelist that will not preach the cross, the blood, or repentance, living for God, self-denial, is a man filled with ego, selfishness. He's a dreamer. He's what Jude calls clouds without water. Oh, he went on and on berating all such men as himself.
I think it sounds like it's a touch of schizophrenia.
Yes, they.
Let me play this next clip of Benny's preacher here.
Lunch with Bill Bright here in Orlando every month. People didn't even know that. And Tim LaHaye became my friend. Jerry Falwell said to me one day, he said, when I watch you preach the word of God, he said, I see no difference between you and I. When I see you give those altar calls, no difference between you and I. When you lead in worship, no difference than your crusades and Thomas Road Baptist Church. But he said, when those miracles begin, it's downhill from there. But he was troubled by my understanding, maybe I would say, and stand on prosperity. But I didn't really do anything about it because the people around me were very strong pro-message. And that went on for a while. But then the change, I mean, in my real life, in my real heart, sometimes I would go home and think, is this really me? Is this? But I wasn't sure. And about 2.5 years ago, it started. Sometimes God takes a long time to wake us up. I don't know why. Someday I think I'm going to ask him. But I just made a decision to really, really get to know the scriptures. I've always read the word. Always, always. And one day I just made a decision that I'm going to read the Bible 3 times a year. Yeah. Is your mic still on?
Yes, yeah.
I just made a decision to read the word 3 times a year.
All the way through.
All the way from Genesis to Revelation. 3 times. And not only that, but even the commentaries. And that's something that began to really affect me in a good way. I've always been a lover of the scriptures. I was a pastor for many, many years. I studied when I was here in OCC for my own soul and for the people of God. And I still do very much study the scriptures, but I do it for myself mostly now. And as I read the scriptures through again and again and again, and then I decided to begin reading the Bible in Hebrew to resurrect my Hebrew. And I'm getting really good with that, by the way.
You are.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I'm teaching Hebrew now. And I, about a year and a half ago, I decided to be a student of Hebrew University. And every Tuesday I go to school online. I'm the only student because I want to be. And I'm learning the Bible with the Hebrew language is so precious and so deep and powerful. There's no way to describe it. But as I'm reading the word in a new way, a lot of things began to come alive. Not just that. Prosperity is a very small line on the bottom of the list when it comes to what I'm looking for my soul, I mean, for my life. So I began to ask myself, are you there here? Like there are things, Michael, in the scriptures about God that make me cry, and still to this day.
They make him cry. Yeah, they make you cry. Thanks, Benny. I mean, just tell it like it is. It's not the prosperity gospel. It's miracle selling. Not the prosperity gospel. Don't blame the prosperity gospel. Blame scamming, conning, miracle selling. She's still trying to sugarcoat it.
Well, and again, you know, he said in his own words in 1987, if you keep going back to what you supposedly repented of, that wasn't true repentance.
Yeah, obviously.
Here's a quote from Benny, and this was in 2008, okay? And let me tell you, does this sound like another repentance in 2008? Yeah, 87. Okay, now here's 2008. He's talking about people he's watching on TV with all their stories of going to heaven. He says, if I ever stood on a platform and said, I've been to heaven and seen Jesus, leave my meeting. If I ever said things like the angels talk to me on a daily basis, leave the service. If I ever tell you I have known the name of angels in glory, leave the service. If I ever tell you I can take you to heaven with me to visit Jesus, leave the service. Yet some, please forgive me, simple-minded people have sat in meetings and listened to such nonsense of people telling them they had visited heaven and gone and talked to Abraham and had coffee with him. Where is that in the Bible? He says, these are called lying signs and wonders. Brother, there is such a thing as signs and wonders produced by a lie. People getting healed, people falling under the power because of a lie, not because of truth. Falling under the power because of a lie. He says, I'm telling you, I've really had to ask the Lord if I should be teaching this tonight because I am fed up with it. I am seeing enough on Christian television even that I'm fed up with. Just because it's Christian TV, it doesn't mean it's God. May I say it again? Just because it's aired on Christian television, it does not mean it's God. I'm sorry to be so blunt. I think sometimes they air those things to get an offering. I'm sick and tired of it. Quit. Yeah, Benny Hinn, right? Benny says, yeah. Quit using the airwaves with a lie to raise money. Enough of it.
Oh, gee. Will the real Benny Hinn please stand up?
No, seriously.
I have to resurrect that TV program. What's my line? Anyway, let's hear Benny again. Let's hear what Benny has to say here about gimmicks.
To today that are not in the scriptures. A lot of things. But it seems the one thing that happened to be a few days ago, a button I guess I touched, which I never thought people would respond like that. In the millions, they've watched that little clip. They didn't listen to the whole thing. They just took that few minutes and it went viral. It was all over India within 3 days, and the UK and Europe. I was getting calls from everywhere. And yes, Michael, I believe in giving. It's in the scriptures.
Is it safe to say this, that your issue is not with prosperity? You believe in prosperity?
I'm going to say it clearly for the first time and last time.
Yeah.
I believe in the promises of God. I believe in the blessings that He has promised. I believe God wants us to succeed. I believe God wants us to be blessed. I don't believe in the gimmicks anymore.
So it's the method. Right. You believe in sowing. You believe in
giving. I believe, look, you cannot love Jesus and not be a giver.
There you go.
You cannot love the Lord and not be a giver. Because love is giving, and giving is loving.
God does not have an issue with His people prospering.
No. I don't like anymore the word prosperity. I think the word prosperity...
Anyway, it's bizarre.
Well... I feel, you know, pretty sorry for him because he's trying to keep up his image, and then on the other time he takes stock and says, well, that's not me. Where is all this influence coming from? I mean, you know, there was a time I felt sorry for him, especially after that 1987 repentance and then later when, you know, the Good Morning Holy Spirit book came out and he was shown what false teaching was in there, and then he repented again with Thomas Nelson and changed the book, and they edited out all his heresies, and then he repented again, and then he gets on Praise the Lord show with Paul Crouch, and he says, if I have a Holy Ghost machine gun,
yeah,
I'll blow your head off, you know.
Yeah.
And so he just goes back and forth.
Yeah, well, the fact that he has congestive heart failure, and so when you have most of the time when you have congestive heart failure, you don't know when your heart's going to fail. So, and then, of course, he's got this investigation going on with the FBI raiding his offices. So, but the thing is, he doesn't tell the whole truth, and he just goes back and forth. And even the fact that he tries to blame other people, I have another clip here where he says that he was trapped. So let's listen to this one.
Of how much more?
Yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
To give him out of hearts of love. So when the message today is preached in some circles, I want to say some circles, that's not even brought up. Instead, it's gimmick. They abuse the truth of the message. They focus on what am I getting back? What am I getting back? Not what am I doing for the Lord I love. What am I getting back for it? And they hear these promises that are not biblical. You're going to get this much in this many days. Well, how many people do you know that ever got a hundredfold return in 7 days or whatever, in a week or a month or whatever? That's the problem. And sadly,
God is putting his finger on the motive.
Yes, but I must say this. I said those same things because of pressure. I was trapped. I went to a certain place not long ago, and I ministered so powerfully on the Holy Spirit. People were healed and blessed. And the man who had me forced me into a position live that I hated being in. When I walked, I said, I don't like this. This is not me anymore. I don't want this. Because they trap you to be in a place you don't want to be in. Finally, I said, it's time for me to tell the world, and I didn't think that many would listen. It's time for me to tell the world, this is a soul matter. This is my heart. I just don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, I've grieved you enough in my past. I've already hurt you enough in my past. I don't want to hurt him anymore, period, about anything. I still have a problem loving my enemies, but I want to. Right. And I said, Lord, you told me to love my enemies. Please help me. Then you read another portion in the scripture. And my real challenge today is, how can I truly, and I'm being as blunt and raw as I can, how can I truly deny self and carry my cross? I want to with all my being. That's my cry today. I want to be a true disciple of the Master. I want to deny the world and self and carry my cross and follow him, whatever the cost, whatever it takes.
That's the gospel.
Before I'm gone.
Yeah.
And truly preach the gospel.
Yeah.
That's what I want, because nobody's preaching the cross. Someone has to preach it again.
He was trapped.
Right. And again, preaching the cross. That's what he said back in 87 that nobody was doing anymore.
Yeah.
You know, that last clip I sent over to you about giving seven times.
I'd like you to
play that. Now, the reason that I think you should pay attention to what he's saying here in this one is that as you've seen so far, he's been blaming it on people that he's been hanging around with. He's had good influences and he's had bad influences, and he's blaming it all on them. What happens when he says, God is telling me this? And that's what this giving seven times your tithe is saying, is it came directly from God. Now, how does he repent from this one?
All right.
The time has arrived now for you to place your trust in the Lord. And he's asking you to do something you may have never done. He is not asking for one seed. When we talk about the one seed, that's all right. Because we talk about sow and reap for sustenance. When it comes to danger, God says, no. To protect yourself from danger, one seed will not do anymore. Mm-hmm. Please listen to this. This is very important. The Bible clearly states we are to sow seven and eight seeds to protect tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It says, give a portion of seven and a portion of eight. In fact, it says so twice a day in verse 6. Because if I want to sow so I can be blessed and reap, I can sow once. I'm fine with one seed. One seed can keep me, keep my bills paid, keep God blessing my finances. All right.
Sure.
But to protect tomorrow from some horrible disaster, I have to plant more seed in the ground. So some of you may just need to up your seed. You may increase, you may want to increase. If God is speaking to you to increase your seed, obey Him. Obey Him.
Okay, so that came from God. God's telling some of you, you better do this. And you can't protect your future with of any bad things that are going to happen unless you give seven times over, over and above your pledge or your tithe or whatever. And so, you know, he's saying God says this. And of course, God doesn't say this anywhere. So,
no.
So that's, you know, it's one thing to repent over false teaching, but it's another thing to look at how mad God is at the false prophets in Jeremiah 23, those who say, thus saith the Lord, when I haven't spoken. He hates the false prophets who say, the Lord said, when the Lord hasn't said. And so Benny does that over and over and over again. He acts like he's the mouthpiece of God, and if you don't listen to him, you're not listening to God.
That's some kind
I
of
don't
strange...
know if there's any, is there any forgiveness? Is that really trampling on the Holy Spirit when you do that? And really trampling on God, because he says that a lot. He blames on the Holy Spirit. Oh, the Holy Spirit's telling me this, or this is the Holy Spirit, when it isn't the Holy Spirit. And so, you know,
a lot of them do that, though.
And it makes me think that, you know, it reminds me, I go back to Pilgrim's Progress again, but if you look at the man in the iron cage who is stuck in it, he says, God hasn't granted me repentance, is what the man in the iron cage is. He says, oh, I thought I was doing so good. I was a professing believer. And but God has, you know, judged me and has kept me in this iron cage and won't let me out. You know, hasn't granted me repentance, because all of these empty talking repentances that he gets every few years, he just repeats himself over and over again, saying the same thing and seeing the dire consequences of going against God over and going back to your sin again and again and again, which is what he's done by his own testimony.
Yeah.
Then, you know, even he says, what is this 70 times seven? Well, you can't fall back on that, he said in that one transcript I wrote. So, you know, he's condemned himself.
Yeah, because he claims to be a student of the Word. Well, he claims that he's read the Bible through every year, and now he's going to read it through three times. But he obviously never read it, because he would have found out a long time ago that most of the things he's been preaching about seed faith is a scam. And there's nothing in the Bible about giving money to get money. So,
No. But you know,
where did he get it from?
I didn't dig up those transcripts, but several years back he had a dream of, and this was right before Oral Roberts died, and he had a dream that Elijah handed him his rod, and that he got it, or he gave it to the rod. What is it? Something about he saw Oral Roberts' approval in the background as Elijah handed him the rod. Okay, so he was seeing Elijah as being Oral Roberts, and he was like Elisha, getting double the anointing and all of this. And so, you know, then he gets the false prophet Mark Sharona to come and interpret that as saying that your ministry is the fulfillment of the Elijah to come before the coming of the Lord. And you yes, and you are the new Elijah. Now you're the Elijah to come, your ministry. And he received all of that, and later he was, you know, Oral Roberts and him talked about it, and Oral Roberts confirmed him to be the Elijah to come. And so when you start believing those kinds of false statements about yourself coming from those
who you've looked up to,
then you think you know, then anyone touches you and you're going to call fire down from heaven on them. Okay.
Yeah. That's the thing, is that if he really meant what he said, and he wants to take up his cross and whatever it takes, then whatever it takes is you have to pay everybody back, everybody that, all the money that you've been stealing all these years, because that's what they've been doing. You need to pay it back if you really mean it.
Yeah, well, I think he has got it invested. It would be too hard to liquidate all his properties and his Rolls Royces and everything.
Yeah. That's the thing. That would be a sign of real repentance. Of course, when you know that you're stealing, and you do know it if you're born again, you know that you're doing the wrong thing because the Holy Spirit convicts you. So he has to know, if he really means what he's saying, he has to know that he's been stealing all these years and he's been conning people and lying to people. So then the right thing to do is you say, well, I have to start paying some of it back. I have to give it back.
Yeah, not some of it. Remember what Jesus told the rich young ruler, because money ruled over him. Sell it all, give it all away, and then come follow me. Now, when he does that in sackcloth and ashes, then I'll believe him.
Yeah, I will believe him then too. Yeah, I will believe him, because that'll be a sign of that he's for real. Because right now, he blames his friends. He was admiring these people, and all the time he's telling people about Jesus and loving Jesus, and he didn't love Jesus himself because he was compromising because he wanted fame. But it's amazing to me how a person like Benny Hinn could get as famous as he did.
He could, and that's where it goes beyond the hypnotism, as I was telling you before. It was the lying spirit in the prophet's mouths. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And that's what he was working on. And the devil had a good reason for him to do what he did. And now we see the fruit of it. And the fruit of it is that this false teaching has now become what people see when they think, when non-believers think of Christianity. They look to people like Benny Hinn, and they look at TBN and they look at Christian television as a whole, and they say, if that's Christianity and that's what they represent themselves as being a part of, then I want nothing to do with that, because I can see right through that, and it's evil. And so now we have more and more people leaving churches. They just want my money. All of these things, everybody naming the name of Christ has been painted with the same brush, thanks to these false teachers and the so-called solid teachers who have not come out and rebuked them, but instead have shared platforms with them. That's there. They get just as much of the blame as the false teachers themselves.
Oh, yeah, I agree wholeheartedly, because that's what you have to do. When you realize the truth, you have to just give it all up, no matter what kind of a job you have to do or whatever you have to do, and then you have to just sit down for a while, be quiet, get into the Word, and get your life back in order as far as what you believe and what you know to be true. Then you can make a comeback or whatever, if God wants you to do that, if God wants you to have a public ministry. But that's what he should do, really, is he should just take the time off and not make any more public appearances, don't do any more fundraising, start trying to liquidate and start paying people back. And, then I would believe him.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point, I don't believe him, because, like you said, you have all this evidence of the things that he's been saying all these years, and then he would never follow through. Well, now it's going to be a real test for him, because he's going to start losing money if he doesn't keep scamming. Scamming is what made him rich. And once he stops scamming, most people aren't sitting at home thinking about who they're going to donate to, because most people donate to the wealthiest ministries. And you had that scripture about the poor shouldn't give to the rich.
Right. Let me see. Do I still have that up? let's see, where was it? It was Proverbs. Okay, here it is. Proverbs 22:16. He who oppresses the poor to make more for himself, or who gives to the rich, will only come to poverty. So if yes, you're poor, don't give to the rich.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and then there was the other passage that struck me at the very end of the book of Titus, where Paul is saying to, he's asking that people would send Zenos the lawyer and Apollos to on their journey with haste, that they may lack nothing, and let our people also learn to maintain good works to meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. So here it's urgent needs that they're meeting with their money, when they needed to send these two to Paul in haste so that they didn't have to stick around and raise the funds themselves, but to, you know, finance them to go on their way for the work of the gospel. And so everybody gathers to help with the urgent needs, and be it an urgent need among you, you pull your money as they did in the book of Acts to help who lacked, and those with extra help those without. And Jesus had instructed his disciples, if someone needs a tunic and you have two, give him one, and that's what giving is all about. Not getting wealthy on the backs of the poor. And then when they go after the poor and with their gimmickry, then they are really insulting God. And it's when they go after the poor. And, how long have the Crouches, of course, they've already met their reward, but how long have they told people to sacrifice everything to give to them? And even if it means not paying your bills, I've even heard Paula White, who said, whatever your paycheck is, turn that all over here.
Yeah, she wants your whole month, January,
she wants
the whole
your rent
month's
money.
Salary. Yeah.
Those people are really, the burning coals are heaping up on their heads.
Yeah, it's like you better wake up, and that's the message for Benny Hinn today. Is you wake up, because you can't. He already had one. He already, his heart failed once. He had congestive heart failure. He got a divorce. He said something about, I don't know, it cost him $1 million or something for attorney's fees. I don't know who spends $1 million on attorney's fees for a divorce. Like, that was crazy. So he already went through some kind of financial difficulties after that. Well, he made a sort of a comeback when he remarried his wife Suzanne, but I don't think he's ever recovered financially from all of that. And then of course he's got this investigation going on in the background. So God can take it all away. And it'll be God that takes it all away. Everything that you got, all that filthy lucre that you got, greedy gain, all those things that were so important to you that you betrayed Jesus and you betrayed the body of Christ to get, God can take it all away in a split second. And you could wind up in an orange jumpsuit. So it could end that way.
It should.
Well, and it should.
Better that than to forfeit your soul.
Than hell. Yeah, than hell. Yes. Because it was like a friend of mine was saying the other day on his program, he was saying, this is legalized thievery. And that's what it is. These evangelists, they get away with it because they cloak it in religiosity. And they use the name of Jesus and they hold the Bible. But they're just con artists. They're just con men. They're pickpockets. They're worse than worse, because here Jesus Christ dies on the cross for us to give us salvation, to give us a brand new life, and then to take that and to cheapen it with your trickery and your gimmicks and all that just to get yourself, just to get rich. It's just ridiculous, because it's like the Bible says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? So what is it going to profit in the end? It didn't. Oral Roberts, the Roberts family, of course, they probably have money stashed away, but in the natural, they lost everything. They lost the university. They lost most of their money. They lost their name, which I don't know what if they ever really had a good name with the thievery that went on with that those people. But you never know when your boat is going to get rocked, and it could get rocked, and it could be pretty devastating. So it's always better to repent and have a real godly sorrow. God knows your heart, so he can rescue you. It's a little warning. It's like it's a little warning for Benny Hinn, and maybe he should really heed the warning and quit blaming everybody else, his friends and the people that work for him and the things he's doing. So it's still a wimpy. It's a wimpy repentance.
Well, anyway. He described that repentance. He did back in 1987, the kind that you say you're sorry and then you go right back to doing it.
Yeah. And well, you go right back to doing it again because of course we know that the world has a pull and the devil promises you just like he was promising Jesus, oh, I'll give you all of this. And the devil will give you fame and he'll give you money. He'll let you get all those things. But then the devil's a thief. So he gives it to you or he helps you get it. And then it's going to get taken away. So it's not worth it. It's just not worth it. It's better to just try to have an honest life and to be happy with what you have. And if God's going to give you more, he's going to give you more. But you can't force God to give you more and to give you things that you really don't need. But anyway, it's still a very sad state of affairs. But there's been some interesting comments made, some people freaking out over this thing because now they're saying that some of these con artists are saying, well, you know, Benny Hinn, what's he doing? We're not going to have enough money to preach the gospel if he doesn't stop this.
Well, yeah. Well, the thing is that if that's what you're living your ministry by on that kind of tainted money and in trying to compel people to give against the own leading of the Holy Spirit in their lives, which is really the only New Testament way to give is spirit led. But when they are deceiving people by telling them the Spirit is telling me to tell you blah, 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 to increase my worth, please.
Yeah.
When it ain't God talking, that's about as bad a sin as you can commit is to con people by saying, thus saith the Lord, when the Lord hasn't spoken. You can't get worse than that as far as in God's eyes. And not only that, in reshaping the whole world's view of what Christianity is, which is what him and his and those he's been in cahoots with, that is what they have done. They have created this whole different view of Christianity that makes it look bad in the eyes of everybody. That they have made Jesus look bad in the eyes of the world.
Yeah.
And have refashioned this new church into something that is a false spiritual whore. I hate to put it that way, but I believe it's all part of the prophetic picture that the formation of the great harlot has to come together. And it's going to be on the backs of these people because it's been the spirit of the age that has been preparing the way for this global church. And all the people we've been speaking about are all ecumenical. They all want to come back under the authority of Pope in Rome. They all preach it. They all teach it. Benny is one of the worst on that count. And so now, you know, you're hearing the same stuff now as I've talked about in my own YouTube channel and just how all the churches meet somewhere in the middle. And the unification of this global church is well on its way. And the TBN and these false preachers with the prosperity message are all contributing to the formation of the Church of Laodicea of the last days who say they are rich and are needing nothing when they don't know that they're miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And so they've created that era of the Church of Laodicea. So now when you go to a church like, you know, the one I visited in Detroit, Dallas, I mean, you know, with Ed Young Jr., you know, prosperity and live rich and be happy and have all, you know, give us your money and all of your, you will be prosperous and successful in this world and this whole success motivational stuff. They got that from Christian so-called television. They've got that from everybody, which, you know, how, what God can do in your life to make you great among, you know, among the lesser people, because that's what they're all preaching. And so, I want to be great. I want to be somebody. So I'll follow what they say and send in my seed, you know, so I can be great. Yikes.
Yeah. Well,
that's why I say when Benny comes out and they sing How Great Thou Art, they're really singing it to Benny.
Yeah. It is sad. Of course, he doesn't have the following that he has anymore. He's supposedly opening up a place in Dallas where he's going to hold healing services. Yeah. So he doesn't fill the big arenas anymore. Those days are over for him. And I mean, sincerely, Benny, repent for sure. Repent before it's too late, because you never know. Your life is but a vapor. So you don't know how much time you have. You don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. Just when you think that your life is going along pretty smooth, then all of a sudden something happens and that you're totally unprepared for. So, it would be wonderful if some of these people would really repent and help the body of Christ, because we really need it in these days. We really need good people to stand up and take a stand for Jesus and not compromise the things that we know, no matter what it costs. So hopefully some will.
I doubt if it's Benny, because Benny thinks he's the prophesied Elijah to come. And if he is that, what does he think the prophesied Elijah will be doing? Living high on the hog? Why doesn't he study the life of Elijah and get out there and prepare the hearts of the men to turn back to God? That's and to live in sackcloth and ashes the way Elijah did. And boy, you know, he better go back as he's reading through the Bible for the third, or is he on the second or third time this year? Whatever it is, he better.
Oh, now he's reading it in Hebrew. Like, okay.
Okay,
so
well, he better read it in Hebrew.
You read it in English all these years. So what good is it going to do to read it in Hebrew? You didn't know what it was saying for 30-something years or 40 years or however long you claim to be in the ministry. You didn't know what it said after all reading it so much.
Well, if he thinks he's Elijah, all he has to do is take a concordance, look up Elijah, everywhere Elijah is mentioned in the Bible, and then see what message he comes with at the end of that, and see if he really is Elijah to come like he believes Oral Roberts and Mark Sharona and his own foolish dreams that he had to tell him that.
Yeah. Well, we'll see if he ever repents of that one, but it'll be interesting to see how all this plays out in the next few months, because like I said, when he started talking like that, and then all these other so-called ministries started having panic attacks about their finances because, the people will stop giving when they realize they can't sow $1,000 seeds to get anything anymore. And so it'll be to see what happens with him as far as how his finances are going to take a big hit. And so we'll see what happens in the future. But anyway, that's our program for today. And Jackie, thanks so much for coming on and bringing those articles, because I had no idea that he basically was saying the same thing in 1987.
Yeah, well, that's church history now.
Yeah, church history. Well, it's good to know some of these things, so people can really take a good look at this and to see it for what it is anyway. All right, so how can people reach you if they want to contact
you? Well, you can look up my webpage, which is ChristianSentinel.com. You can find me on YouTube. Just look up my name, Jackie Alnor, or look it up on Facebook and join the discussion on my Facebook page, on mine and on Rapture Radio's Facebook page as well.
Yeah. So don't forget, if you want to contact Jackie, and she's been at this for a long time, and check out her terrific news magazine, the Christian Sentinel. Great articles there. And her new series on YouTube, where she's visiting churches to help people to maybe try to find a good church, which is very, very difficult nowadays with so much false teaching that's going on. But anyway, God bless you, Jackie, and we'll be talking soon, okay?
Okay, God bless. Thanks, Susan.
All right, bye-bye. Okay,
bye.
Great program today and great insights. So the Bible says that you will know them by their fruit. So we'll see what kind of fruit this bears for Benny Hinn, and we'll see what happens in the next few months. Anyway, God bless you all today. Thanks, everybody, for listening and for tuning in. We're in our 10th year, hard to believe, over almost 700,000 listens to our program during that time, which is terrific, really, because we don't do that much publicity. We don't have a PR person, and it was really the Lord that brought people to our channel, and we're very grateful for that. So the most important thing today is, do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins? That's what repentance is all about. It's asking the Lord to forgive you, and He will forgive you no matter what you've done. He will forgive you and give you a brand new life. That's what it means to be born again. First you're born of your mother, then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. And the Bible says in Romans 10:10 that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. So you have to say it, and God will change your life. He really will. You'll see. You'll have a brand new life. You will go from darkness to light, and the scales will be removed from your eyes, and you'll be able to see what the truth is. Many of you maybe are searching for the truth, but Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So give your life to Jesus today. It's something that you'll never regret. And you'll look back on it and you'll say, I'm so happy and overjoyed that I made that decision that day and I gave my life to Christ, because heaven is a real place. And Jesus Christ lives in heaven. And He said, where I go, you can be also. So He's prepared a place for you. The earth is only you're only passing through here. But you can have a home in heaven. And that's a pretty good deal. Amen? God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.